Welcome to The Firm Report, the show where we pull back the curtain on what it really takes to build and grow a successful law practice. Each week, we'll be talking with attorneys, marketing pros, and operational specialists from law firms around the country. We'll dig into real stories, smart strategies, and the practical tips that can help you grow your firm and serve your clients better. Let's get into it.
If we're going to play ball, let's play on our home field. Like, let's not go and play on everybody else's ball field because we don't know what's really happened. The grass is not greener. I know it looks green, but there's an actual scientific fact that because of the way the sun shines off the blade of a grass from an angle, it looks greener from the other guy's lawn, but it's not. It's no better than your lawn. Like, stay on your ball field. Play your game. Understand who you are. Make clear goals. Have a clear mission. Like, when I start with somebody, my very first thing is, who are you? What's your vision, like, for the firm? What do you want? What's your mission? I want you to articulate your mission. And I want you to know who you are, core values, your true core value. Who really are you? Like, what is your thing, you know? And when you distill that down, people get really solid. And then they start looking at their business model and getting great at it.
Hi, welcome to another episode of The Firm Report. I'm Zach Hoffman, and I'm welcoming my guest, Brian Lebovic. Thank you for joining us. Being local to South Florida, definitely, I've seen your face around town, but I'd love for you to give yourself a true intro.
Hi, thanks, Zach. It's great to be here. My name is Brian Lebovic. I'm an attorney in South Florida. My wife and I have had a firm since the early to mid 90s. We've been up in Jupiter, Florida, and we've moved through pretty much that entire DMA. We now have offices in Key West, in Homestead, all the way up. We have an office in Orlando and Tampa and Jacksonville. So it's a growing enterprise. We're 16 lawyers, about 100 total staff. We cover four practice areas: PI, workers' comp, Social Security on the consumer side, and PIP collections for doctors and hospitals on the commercial side.
Nice. So you've grown substantially over time, I assume.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, but it hasn't been linear. Like, it's not like it goes like this, you know? It goes like doop, 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 nah, a little bit here, and then, you know. So they say that there's that cartoon. Sorry about taking us off topic here, but there's that cartoon that says success looks like this and it's a straight line, but it's actually this and it's a squiggly line that goes all over the page. And that's been my life.
I think the squiggly line in some aspects is a reality, right? Like, you grow a little and then you level out. And I think that's, you know, if you're not burning other people's cash and you're, you know, looking to grow at a profitable rate, you kind of need that, you know, snakes can't swallow an elephant, right? You got to kind of go through and keep moving forward.
Yeah. And I've had to learn to not be a bright, shiny toy chasing guy. I'm very entrepreneurial and I see things, and I've done so many entrepreneurial ventures that have just been abject failures. Because I chased a bright shiny toy. So I've learned to be more disciplined in the way I approach the firm and business, and be more data oriented and be more finance oriented. And as I've learned those hard business lessons, because I was a philosophy major, not a business major, it's been an incredible difference in the stability of the firm, the growth of the firm, and the ability of the firm to do good by our customers and clients.
And, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because being in Florida, I mean, you know, we know kind of set the tone on a national scale. So, you know, I'm sure there's been a lot of like shiny object syndrome aspects of like, well, if they're doing it, can I scale? Or like, you know, I'm kind of a believer in playing your own game, right? And, you know, because there's always a competitor. You don't necessarily know where the funds are coming from or what they're doing or necessarily need to care. And as a business owner that's been in business 20 plus years, I've always found it's very true to yourself to like be respectful of your own game and focus on your own game more so than the competition, right? That's a lesson I try to teach some clients when I speak to them, but it sounds like you've live that in a way. I'd love for you to expand on that a bit.
It's such wise words, Zach. It's such wise words. And I say it to my team a lot. And I say it even on a per case basis. If we're going to play ball, let's play on our home field. Like, let's not go and play on everybody else's ball field because we don't know what's really happened. The grass is not greener. I know it looks green, but there's an actual scientific fact that because of the way the sun shines off the blade of a grass from an angle, it looks greener from the other guy's lawn, but it's not. It's no better than your lawn. Like, stay on your ball field, play your game, understand who you are, make clear goals, have a clear mission. Like, when I do some business consulting now, and the very first thing I talk about is, before you go and tell me you want to be like Morgan or like Bond or like any of these big, really solid operations, because Morgan's a solid operation. I mean, you may not like his, you know, whatever you don't like. I'm super impressed with the fact that this person scaled a law firm to billions of dollars nationally in multiple disciplines with hundreds and thousands of people under him. And it works, right? That's a unique thing, right? You can be very successful, multimillionaire successful, without doing what he does. Like, pick what you want to do, right? So we go back to core values. We go back to core personalities. We go back to mission and vision. And when you get deep into what people want to be, you can help them play on their ball field and feel good about where they go. And then they grow well.
So you've been a leader, and then you're also, you coach other attorneys, businesses, or?
Mostly attorneys, and mostly kind of on the combine. I don't get paid for it. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of speaking at masterminds, and I've done a lot of speaking at summits, and I've spoken at Pilma and Vista and, you know, a lot of the summits that are out there. And so I get called, hey, would you mind talking to me about this or about that? And then you talk to somebody and they're like, hey, do you mind if I use you as kind of a little mentor and bounce ideas off you? And you end up talking to people over time and giving them good advice or trying to give them the advice you know, right? Mm-hmm. So I've done a lot of that. And that's really where I go back to. Like when I start with somebody, my very first thing is, who are you? What's your vision like for the firm? What do you want? What's your mission? I want you to articulate your mission. And I want you to know who you are, core values, your true core values, not aspirational core values. We want to be honest in every possible thing. Who really are you? Like, what is your thing? You know? And when you distill that down, people get really solid. And then they start looking at their business model and getting great at it.
That's awesome. That's great feedback. And I assume you go through this exercise fairly regularly to fine tune your craft, and it's evolved over time.
We do. And we're really good about it. So one of the things that we started about 5 years ago was making sure everyone on the team knows our vision, mission, and core values. And then we talk about it and we do it as much as we possibly can. So every single meeting, whether it's an all staff meeting, whether it's a one-on-one meeting, it doesn't matter. Every single meeting starts with a couple of questions. Who are we? We are Warriors for Justice. What is our mission? We maximize justice by aggressively fighting for our clients' rights. And what are our core values? Fight to win, passion to serve, relentless innovation, and own it, right? So that's how we start. Then we can be asked, when someone asks you a question about a case, about a particular person, what's the first question you ask back? What is in the best interest of the client? Not us, not anything else. In that question, what is in the best interest of the client? And you answer it, how? By doing what's right, not what's easy. And when you take those things, knowing your vision, mission, and core values, knowing your core purpose of why you're there, and knowing how to define answering questions in whatever you're doing, the answers flow, people stay in line, and the army that you have behind you understands how to charge over the hill so that when you yell charge, you all go in the same direction and you don't have people running this way and backwards and doing their own thing.
What, speaking to that, what have been some of the bottleneck levels, if you don't mind sharing? Is it like HR account, revenue number? Like, yeah, and I know in your industry,
everything gets bottlenecked at different times, right? Like, so if you don't have enough cash on hand, you don't have enough revenue, you don't have enough cash flow, that can be a huge bottleneck. You need to have enough financing to carry you through dry periods if you have this type of up and down revenue stream. But the worst bottleneck, honestly, that I've come to is human beings. Mm-hmm. So having the wrong people on the bus is the number one thing. And then having the right people on the bus in the wrong seat on the bus is the second thing. And the worst problem, the hardest problem, is on the performance culture index matrix. You know what that is? So on one side, you got culture, like high culture, low culture, and performance, high performance, low performance. So the person up here that's high culture and high performance, they're on your team, they're an A-plus player, they're great, right?
Yeah.
And the person that's high culture but a little lower performance, they're a B player because you can coach them up, hopefully, right? And the person that's low culture and low performance got to get off the bus. That's easy, easy decision making. They're not performing and they don't like our culture. And then you've got the hardest person and the poison in your firm, low culture, high performance. And you got this person bringing in revenue. They have their own world. They do their own thing. They're very successful, but they kill the culture of the firm. And that's the hardest bottleneck. And the minute that you have the courage to get rid of it, the firm flies.
It's kind of like the locker room in some of these Miami teams, huh?
100%. You know what? I look at it all the time and I think, what poor leadership some of the football teams have where they persistently are average or poor. I mean, or they have superstars that don't perform on their team and then they go to a different team and they're like, wow, this guy was a really good guy. You know, like quarterbacks have gone from Cleveland to other, you know, places. And now they're one of the best quarterbacks in the league. They couldn't throw the ball to someone in Cleveland. So how bad is their locker room and their ownership and their coaching versus a place like Pittsburgh that can take 12 guys off the street and play football at a professional level in a competitive way? Because the locker room is solid.
It's the locker room. And I think also the atmosphere, the environment. I mean, you know, I'm personally a Marlins fan, Jash Chisholm, going from Miami to the New York Yankees. It's just a huge, it's night and day, right? It's like going from a meditation stadium to, you know, you go to Yankee Stadium, the taxi cab drivers are going to know what you're doing.
It's a lot of pressure.
The pressure level is just it's how a team player or player just steps up at those.
Yankees are hard to pick on because they've had the most success in the world. And the Marlins are hard to pick on because if they're a new team, for a team that's one of the newer teams, I went to the Charlie Huff game one. So I know, I love that team. And I was there for those World Series, all the games. And, you know, that team's had success fast. So they need to get back on the stick. They're kind of, you know, like running close, but they're not a bad culture team. There's other teams.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying it's interesting. The environments is like you're saying, like a guy to move from Miami Marlins to New York Yankees. If you're a baseball guy, it's just like you're moving from, you know, a zone where there's 2,000 people maybe in the stadium that's being generous to 30,000-40,000 a night. And
every single day,
every moment's critiqued, and Jazz has stepped it up and met the performance levels. And it's been
awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. It's good to see.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, talking about people in HR, I do have to hit on like, in my world, it's not a buzzword, right? Like a lot of people say it's a buzzword, but maybe you know where I'm going. AI, artificial intelligence, and how it augments humanity and what we're doing. And, you know, it's an existential threat to a lot of aspects of, you know, what people do. But I think every technological innovation has had that, you know, but being, you know, at your levels, like what are you seeing, feeling, and what's your thoughts when it comes to AI?
I think there's a couple of things that, as a business owner, and I'm going to be a little controversial here, I think, but as a business owner, we've had some very interesting conjoining moments in the last 6-7 years, right? Mm-hmm. We had the COVID epidemic that forced everybody home and forced everybody onto technology.
Yeah.
We had employment needs go through the roof for a time when employees at McDonald's were demanding $25, right? Like there was a time when you couldn't hire somebody, like there was nobody to work, like everybody was employed.
Yeah.
And the demands of the labor force because of that, because of those two things, became very became a little difficult. And I feel like there is a generation of kids that grew into this that think it's normalcy to be able to walk into a place, demand $35 an hour, no experience, and show up twice a week. You know, like I only want to come in twice. I mean, I hear this. I hear I really want to work remotely, and I need $35 an hour, and I can only work from 7:30 to 3. And I need a 4-hour lunch break. So, and I can only come in on Tuesdays. So have a good, you want that, right? Like there's memes about that stuff, but I hear that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And you have this generation of kids that think ghosting is appropriate as if that's not going to come back and hurt you someday. Mm-hmm. Like we've been ghosted by people where we've offered them jobs and then they don't show up. Now, you may not want the job, you may decide, but if you don't have the courtesy to call us and tell us I'm not showing up for day one of the job and you are in the legal community in Palm Beach County, I promise you, everyone I know knows your name and knows how you treated us. And we have a great reputation in our community because we treat everybody well. I treat my co-counsels well. I treat my opposing counsels well. I treat my friends in the community well. Like we are very generous to our community. Mm-hmm. And I'm not afraid to say this person is not the right person to be hired because they ghosted us. Like this is a terrible thing. So you've got this really interesting thing on that side. So we'll put that on one side, right? This very, I want to call it spoiled young workforce, right? And now you've got AI and you've got VAs, which are foreign workers, right? Mm-hmm. We can pick up foreign workers as many as we want, as long as we want, for almost as much as you want. You can get Philippine data input people, which cost you $20 an hour here in the States, for $3 an hour in the Philippines, right? $4 an hour, $5 an hour, no benefits, no time off. They work all night long. When you come in, all your work's done. So you have that on the human side. And now you have this AI, generative AI, agentic AI capacity coming on, which is going to take a lot of these quick labor jobs that people could used to get trained in. Like you used to start in my firm, you could start as a data input person and you could end up being, you know, the chief of a division, you know, like we've raised people up to be the head of intake from being an input person into intake clerk in SSD. Like we promote from within. Those positions are going to start disappearing. If you're not going to come in with some experience, some ability, some commitment to the organization, some maturity, it's going to be harder and harder to find a job.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
In regard, I mean, it's definitely a loaded topic, and definitely, it's like you said. I think AI is eliminating some areas, and the innovation clip is just it's so rapid at the moment.
Right now, I have three people at a summit for an AI client experience software system that we're going to implement. We are not planning on losing people over this. We probably could if we wanted to, but our goal is to grow the firm and not grow our workforce for a good long time. Once we implement this should take over for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people per area. So it should be great. And after that, in a week and a half, 2 weeks, we're going to Dreamforce, which is the Salesforce major convention. And we're very interested in their new agentic AI. So they have agents within Salesforce model. We have a Salesforce-based client service processing program called Litify. So it's Salesforce-based, so we can implement all of that Salesforce technology. And that's going to, again, diminish our need for human interaction, right? So it's coming, and it's coming really fast.
Oh yeah, it's here. And you know, I think like the Moore's law of like chip innovation, where you know, with every 18 months, chip speeds would double. I think with AI, we're seeing innovation at, it's like a 6 month clip, if even, and then it's getting so rapid. So it's
just, I'm gonna give your readers a little stock tip.
What's that?
Small nuclear. What? Small nuclear. There are a lot of small upstart companies doing small nuclear power plants on small levels to host data farms, because they need humongous draws of energy, especially for their cooling systems and their energy draws and their, you know, internet intakes. And we're going to start seeing a ton of little nuclear reactor power plants popping up right next to data centers all over the United States.
That's wild. The amount of regulation when it comes to AI, and then even the data, that's the power, like you're saying, that's powering it all. That's going to be huge.
It's a crazy future. And at one level, I feel blessed to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. At another level, I keep seeing these really wonderful Facebook posts that says, hey, the 80s is calling you. Remember the 80s? And it goes through like, it wasn't all about big gear. It was about hanging out at the drive-in and going to, you know, roller skate and doing all this stuff. And the 90s are calling you. Remember the 90s when we used to, you know, go to the beach and we'd surf and we'd skateboard?
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, those times are calling my name. Like, I miss that. And I watch kids today not talk to each other and look at those cell phones, so addicted to this and not communicating with human beings. And I wonder, like, where are we headed? So as much as I love it and I buy into it and I think that it has some great potential, I fear it as the same amount.
I agree. I was saying to my wife, I was just like, I remember the days when you get to go to Blockbuster Video, pick up some Little Caesars pizza.
Absolutely. Blockbuster was an experience, right?
I was itching to do it yesterday.
It was wonderful. But they took the Blockbuster experience away. Like, milling through titles. Do they have this in? What do we want to watch? Like, you know, it was great. And you forced yourself to pick something and then go home and stick it in the VCR. It was wonderful. It was a great night.
There was always limited releases, right? So like, if you didn't get there in time, you aren't going to get the new release that week. And
absolutely, you're waiting for 3 weeks to find, you know, King Kong came back out and you wanted to watch it. Yeah, it was great.
You must rewind.
It taught us a little anticipation. You know, we don't have any of that now. It's just instantaneous.
Yeah, there's a lot of instant gratification driving, you know, aspects of society. Yeah. But you know, patience is a virtue and definitely wins out. Which brings me to sounds like you're, you know, outside of business, you must have it all together on the home aspect. 32 plus years, your wife is your partner at the firm as well. And
yeah,
talking about,
yeah, well, honestly, I could brag about it all day long. I have been blessed with a very strong, very great partner who is a foil to me as a personality. I'm a big personality. I can suck up a lot of oxygen in a room. She's a great foil. She knows how to deal with me. She's strong. She's smart. She was great at keeping the kids. Like, I'm a good blow up discipliner. Like, what are you doing? And blah, blah, blah. You know, I can be very mean. And then the kids are like, so what's my punishment? I'm like, you're such a good kid. Don't worry about it. Like, I don't hold anybody accountable. She's like, oh, no. You're going to be held accountable. You're grounded. This is the time. So she kept the kids in line. So all that worked well. And on the firm side, we had a very clear division where I led the firm. She worked in the firm with me as a lawyer. At one point, she was the CFO of the firm. She was the chief legal officer of the firm. Like, she has taken on whatever role we've needed that I can't do well in the firm, and foiled me and was the foil to me. And it has just worked fantastically well. Like, we're a very good team. And in the home, she's the leader. I mean, like, I'm definitely second place in the home on the opinion front.
So how old are your kids? How have you balanced it all?
So I've got 30, 27, and 25.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you want me to brag about my kids, I can. I have three stand-up, superstar, over-the-top, crazy great kids. They're all well-balanced and smart and not addicted to drugs and not like, I've just got, they're committed to family. They're committed to their careers. My daughter is finishing up her third year in law school. She worked for 5 years after college and then went back to law school. And now she's going to finish up law school. She's got a great job at Sidley Austin, which is a giant firm. She wants to work in the sports department there. Great money. She's super happy. My middle son is in Denver and he's in multifamily real estate and the fifth largest REIT in the country. Doing great. He's their number one analyst, or he was. Now he got promoted up from that. And then my youngest son is moving back to Florida because he's in construction and he just got a job as a superintendent here. with a construction company, which is a wonderful start for him in our community. So
that's awesome.
Lucky, congrats. Just very lucky. And that comes from good mothering. I mean, like that comes from strong moms in the households and having dad support them. And that's sure. what you get. So
definitely, you know, it sounds like you've driven a lot of success on the court, off the court. That's amazing. And, you know, at Exults, we drive cases, drive results. So I need to ask, like, what's your, if you were to give our listeners like one key tip to driving results and driving, what is it?
For law firms, like straight.
I mean, it sounds like you're a man of a lot of balance, right? So, you know, it's in growing a firm to the levels that you have, there's things that happen on and off the court, I believe, that's just not all work. So on the work side, one tip, and also at home, I guess the one balance tip that you'd advise.
I think no matter where you are, I think having an honest level of self-awareness and being able to know who you are and be vulnerable to a partner that is your teammate, that interaction and having that asset in your life, having a teammate, like my wife is my teammate, who I can be very vulnerable with and accepts me for all of my faults. And I accept her in the same way. And knowing that we have that type of, it's us against the world, even us against the kids, like it's just us. And having that has allowed me to be very successful. And even when we're not being financially successful, because we've gone through some really hard times, my core identity has always been our family. And if my family's healthy and my marriage is healthy and my children are healthy, then all the rest is just not as important. And it keeps you floating. It keeps you mentally, you know, aware and like keeps the priority in line. And that has been probably my saving grace on many days where I haven't, I'm not necessarily a depressed person because I don't really feel that. And I appreciate that people do. I'm very blessed that I don't, but when it's been bad, I've gotten like, you know, anxious and, you know, you get, you know, anxious about things. That's been my saving grace, is that no matter what happens, my family is healthy and my wife and I have a great relationship. And even if we fail, even if I go bankrupt, I still have that. And that's a better asset than most people.
That's awesome. Brian, I appreciate all your insights and just the values you bring to the table. It's
thank you.
I believe it's priceless in a lot of ways. I appreciate sharing all your insight and can't thank you enough for your time.
Thanks for having me on. It's been fun. And I love your Monopoly background.
Thank you very much.
This is our little like office. I'm in the house today because my kids are home. So I'm actually, believe it or not, get this. There was a young lady who was raised in our household. We had a woman who was helping take care of the kids. She got pregnant. She had a baby. That young girl was raised in my household. She's getting married tonight. And because I can't walk her down the aisle because she was raised in my household, her dad does that, I'm going to marry them. So I'm the officiant tonight in the wedding. Isn't that fun? So all my kids have come in.
That's amazing. I mean, you have, I think, gifts more than any value, you know, from everything that you experience from a family side. So you're very blessed and definitely appreciate you sharing all your knowledge. And if, you know, our listeners are to find you, where's the best place for them to go find you?
Oh, you see my last name there, Lebovic, Labovick. That's a made up Ellis Island name. You type that in, you're going to find me. I'm the only one. Not the only, but there's very few Lebovics out there, right? So 1-866 Lebovic, you can call it. You can call 1561, which is my area code, 888-888-888. You can Lebovic.com, you know, like BrianLebovic.com, BrianFLebovic.com. Anything Lebovic gets you to me.
Awesome.
So yeah, any of that will get you.
Well, definitely appreciate the time and your knowledge. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Great. That's it for today's episode of The Firm Report, brought to you by Exults, a full-service digital marketing agency helping law firms reach new heights. If you enjoyed the conversation, make sure to like, subscribe, and share the show with someone who'd find it valuable. You can find us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.